House Committee on Veterans Affairs. House Bill 3308, which is the last item on the agenda, is going to have, come back next Tuesday with some amendments, so we will not be hearing that today. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3202. And, General Caldwell, come up first.
Can we do a panel, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I could do that.
And we can rest through a little better.
Sure. Thank you. So we'll all send Mr. Warnock and Mr. Gulliver.
Okay. Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association. We are here to support this particular bill because the directors and members of Oregon Veterans Association have decided years ago, 2002, that we would be sponsors of legislation to improve the Oregon Youth Challenge Program as one of our primary charitable functions. I personally, just as a personal note, have an intimacy with this particular program. One of my own sons is a graduate of Oregon Youth Challenge, and he went to this program because he was academically challenged. I don't know how much you know about the program itself, but this is not for kids that are at risk because of legal issues or drug issues or other problems that affect our at-risk teens. But he struggled academically through in the normal high school programming. We tried to put him, or we did put him, in all of the alternative programs available through the Salem-Keizer School District. And it was his own initiative that found the Oregon Youth Challenge program as a as an option for his academic success. And after we evaluated the program and went to Bend and looked at the facility and talked with the director and talked with then Colonel Caldwell, we determined that we would send him to that. He successfully graduated with a high school diploma from the Oregon Youth Challenge program. And so with that affinity, we've brought this this bill before you to help provide an incentive to improve on the staffing, the quality of staffing and the longevity of the staffing at the Youth Challenge program. That's our position today. We definitely support this and ask for your support as well.
Thank you. Let's go next.
Go ahead, General.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, the Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department. Actually, the bill has two pieces to it, and I'll talk to the first piece that Mr. Warnock spoke to, which is the piece that actually has a tax benefit for employees of the Oregon National Guard Youth Challenge Program. Just so you know, we've had the program running for 12 years. We've had over 3,000 students go through that. Greg indicated that it is a high school, and that's exactly what it is. It's been misnomered as a lot of things, but it truly is a high school. It's run according to our rules, very strict discipline and regimental fashion, and I think the success rates, and I didn't bring all the data with me, but I could certainly get it to you if you want to look at it, but I think generally speaking, and these things cost a lot of money. There's a lot of interest in this sort of thing. The thing that concerned me here a few years ago was that I thought, you know, we're doing a good thing here. We're making us feel good, and these kids walk out the door, but is it going to stick around a while? Are these kids going to actually improve their lives post being out of this regimentation? We sought a grant, received it, the study was performed on the kids the last 5 years. 82% of the kids that come out of that program would be on a positive track, either in secondary education, in the workforce, or in the military. Only 2% of them actually really failed and ended up either incarcerated and or in some other form of governmental subsistence of some fashion. And the rest of them are somewhere in between that, not as good as the 82%. So I think made me feel better that we're actually getting a product here, and I think that's the good news. This bill is really designed to try to resolve a problem, and some of that's location. We ended up in Bend, not because we went out and actually did a competition or sought it. It was a black program the military ran out there, and the building was abandoned basically after the Cold War. So we had a facility. The community was highly interested in getting us in that building. A guy named Denny Maloney, who you may have been familiar with in your past, who just recently passed away. Denny was a big mover and shaker on that, as well as other people in Central Oregon. So we ended up in this facility, which was a 68,000 square foot facility. A lot of amenities, and so we took it over. Our problem is that all of our employees are state employees. It's a 60% federal, 40% state cost. And we're having an incredibly difficult time of maintaining employees because of the cost of living and other things associated with Bend. We just simply don't pay enough. So these folks are, and there's really not a lot we can do about it given the constraints that are that we have to deal with under the pay system of the state of Oregon. So what this bill basically does is it gives you a Benny if you stick on with the Oregon Youth Challenge. I'll give you an example. Our turnover rate is averaging 45% per year of our employees. And generally speaking, that's because these folks look and find other employment because they simply can't make enough money to live in that economy. Management staff, 37%. Since 05, two of the six people in my management staff are there today since 05. Administrative staff, 31%. 10 of 16 are there today. And the line staff, the most important ones in my mind, 57% turnover rate, which is also the lowest paid, 7 of 22 are there today from 05. Give you an idea of the difficulty we're having. So we really, really think this would maybe help us keep these employees. The second piece of this bill, and I think that as much as I don't want to slow things down or cause it to be derailed in any fashion, is the front page on line 20 and 22, 23, and 24, and 25 actually adds an increase for all guardsmen. And it should have been all reservists. So I think after talking with Deborah in the back of the room, I think we could fix it with one little quick amendment. And in line 20, add 6,000 and basically delete 22, 23, 24, and 25. And that would take care of all reservists and move that rate up. I did a little research on this tax benefit that the state of Oregon put together. It took me a while because I'm not used to doing this kind of research. Had to make several phone calls and finally figured out how to do it and got through it. This law came into effect in 1973. So after my calculations, I thought I better check it off. So I went to Paul Warner down at Legislative Revenue, and I said, Paul, if you had this benefit in 1973 at $3,000, what would that $3,000 be worth today in the tax write-off? And I gave him the number that I came up with, which was $13,875, and he came back an hour later and said the number's $13,872. So I'll take his $72. He's a heck of a lot better at this than I am. But that's what that $3,000 value would buy you today. And I think moving that up to $6,000 is good public policy and would make a good deal of sense, and we'd certainly want to see it for all service members, not just the Guard. So with that, I'll be quiet, and I would appreciate if the committee would consider that little minor amendment and pass the bill out.
So to amend it, we would remove B, which is lines 22 through 25.
Correct.
And on line 26, we would restore B instead of C.
Correct.
And on line 20, not to exceed the amount would be $6,000.
Correct. And I think that would be a pretty simple fix and get us, get all service members what would be, I think, long overdue.
Yes, Representative
Holmquist. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike, how many employers in the Youth Challenge?
Need to bring it back. Excuse me?
Employees in the Youth Challenge.
48.
Any further? Yes.
Mr. Chair, just Greg Warnock again. One other comment I wanted to make is we sent a questionnaire out sometime in November to all of the members and candidates for legislature and asked if they would be supportive of this particular bill, and we had a resounding bank of support for this particular bill. Just wanted to add that.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay, thank you. But I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3202, and we'll work on getting that. We need to get things going here. As you know, we're running out of time, but we'll get this one done.
Thank you.
Get back up. Thank you. Okay, we'll open a public hearing on 3205. Mr. Warnock again, please, Mr. Gulliver, and Kevin O'Reilly.
I'd like to point out to the committee, we have a dash one amendment for this bill. It should be in your packets.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, again, Greg Warnock from Oregon War Veterans Association. I provided written testimony to you today for this bill, House Bill 3205, and we've also included an amendment, a dash one amendment that was just finished today by LC. We have proposed this bill because of the need for long-term care services for veterans. Veterans typically require long-term care services before the rest of our population. And what we've decided to do here is provide a tax credit similar to the one that's already provided for any citizen that buys their own long-term care policy. Currently, if you or I buy a long-term care policy, the state of Oregon allows a tax credit of up to 15% of the premium paid that year, or $400, the lesser of. What we've asked to do is provide an additional incentive to veterans to buy their own long-term care policy out of their own funds. And in order to do that, we've offered this incentive, which asks for the greater of 15% of the premium paid, or $400. So it's a minimum of $400 for any vet that buys their own tax or their own long-term care policy. My research shows that the average tax credit allowed or paid or claimed, is about $180 for people that purchase a long-term care policy. What this does is bumps that up to $400 basically for any vet. I doubt that very many of them will require over $400. Revenue does have figures on this. We proposed this bill in 2003, and they have data, and that data will be provided at the revenue hearing when that goes before that committee. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Warnock? Okay, Mr. Gulliver?
Thank you, Chair Barker, committee members. For the record, my name is David Gulliver. I'm Chief of Staff for Representative Donna Nelson, who is sponsoring this bill. I think Mr. Warnock has summed it up pretty well. One thing I'd like to point out about the amendment that's before you today, I just would like to assure the committee members that while we were preparing the original bill and finding co-sponsors, that we did discuss the amendment because we recognized the error in the bill at the time. So the co-sponsors are aware of the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. O'Reilly.
My name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here representing the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America. And as I've mentioned before, many of our members are non-service connected. And they're out of the service sometimes for 20 and 30 years before they're injured. And when they receive the spinal cord injury, as you can imagine, that's a very life-changing event. Quite frequently, they don't have the resources to help cover their expenses, and they wind up on public assistance. This would encourage veterans to get long-term health care insurance in case they're disabled later in life, and I would strongly support the bill.
Thank you. Could Mr. Warnock, can you remind me again what the definition of a war veteran?
Yes, a war veteran is someone who served during a period of service that Congress has established as qualifying for war veteran status. So Congress has set up particular dates for categorizing a war veteran.
Okay.
It typically includes all of the known wars, including Gulf War till current, so 1992 to present. All people in the military service are qualified as war veterans. And it also includes veterans who have qualified for a particular campaign medal that were not maybe not associated with a congressionally approved campaign. So if they've received a expeditionary medal, for example, they qualify as a war veteran.
And what is the period, time period for Vietnam? Do you know that?
The Vietnam, I don't know the actual dates, but I can tell you that it's split in two. There's service in Vietnam during certain dates. If they serve during those dates in Vietnam, then they qualify. Others that served during the Vietnam era qualify. So, but Congress has established those particular dates.
Okay. I was just trying to remember. It seems to me it was like with the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I think it was August of 64. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll open a work session, and we have some dash ones. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 3205.
Representative Schopfer moves the dash ones into House Bill 3205. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3205 as amended to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Schopfer moves House Bill 3205 as amended to revenue with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? You call the roll, please.
Representative
Belquist?
Aye.
Representative
Callen?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Scott? Excused? Aye. Motion carries to close the work session on 3205. Mr. Keller, if you open a public hearing on House Bill 3160. Mr. Keller, if you could give us an update on that.
House Bill 3160 creates the Oregon Veterans Business Enterprise Program, appropriates money to the Department of Veterans Affairs for purposes of the program for the biennium beginning July 1st, 2007. We first heard this bill on April 3rd. Questions were posed by the committee requesting additional information on similar programs, what might be occurring in Oregon and other states. And it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Willis.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jim Willis. I'm director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. To the question the committee had, and specifically to Representative Schopfer, he wanted to know about other business assistance programs in other states. In the interest of time and the committee's agenda, I will simply tell you that similar programs exist in the state of Washington. In fact, they just passed this session in March 30. They passed Senate Bill 5253 in Washington, which assists veteran-owned businesses. In fact, identifies with a state furnished logo that a particular business in that state is owned by a veteran and encourages people to shop at a veteran-owned business in their state. In the state of Florida, Senate Bill 300 is passing in the Florida legislature, and what it does is it sets up a goal for government businesses to do business with disabled veteran business enterprises in their state. And that is done in cooperation with the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs and their Department of Business Services. The last action on that bill that I have occurred on March the 6th, when it was referred to government operations. I have not called the retired admiral that runs the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, but when I met with him some weeks ago, he indicated that he felt that bill would pass in the state of Florida. In the state of New Mexico, they have a program that aids both business, veteran-owned businesses, and also sets a goal for furnishing business to disabled veteran-owned businesses. There is a federal law that requires that 3% of all federal government work be awarded to disabled veteran-owned businesses. That primarily comes from federal installations, and unfortunately, Oregon is very poor in federal military installations, and so they don't have a lot of opportunity to gain 3% of that federal business unless it's exportable to another state. The other thing I just wanted to make the committee aware of, and you have handouts to this effect, was a very good article in the Wall Street Journal this year that broke down the percentages of veterans who are going into entrepreneurial businesses. And so I'll leave that for you to read. It's a very quick read, and it's got some great graphics and great statistics. And I'll go from that to two Oregon-owned veteran businesses to give you an example of the kinds of people we could help. You have a clipping from the La Grande Observer newspaper that is dated, by the way. It doesn't say on your clipping, but it's February 21st this year, so it's very current, or pretty current, talking about the business startup of a fellow by the name of Justin Baker, who I've spoken with. He sold his house to start his business. He indicated that he would have been very pleased to have some assistance in starting up that business, but of course there wasn't a program like ours available to him at that time. The other thing that you see is this tube that I have in front of me. This tube is called the Patriot Package. The Patriot Package program is a small veteran-owned business in Ashland, Oregon, run by a fellow by the name of Bill Richard. Bill is a Vietnam veteran. I forgot to mention that Justin Baker is a Navy veteran, but I think that's in the article that I gave you. Bill Richard uses this Patriot Package program as a way for people to recognize others for their patriotic activities. He also has a agreement with the Traveling Wall of the Vietnam War, where this is on sale as a retail item for them to use. And he also indicated to me that this program that we're proposing here, which is not only to assist in the startup of veterans businesses but also to expand and enhance veteran businesses, would be of great use to people like himself, a disabled Vietnam veteran. And then finally, I have provided the committee, and I've been very careful to put draft on every one of these, a draft brochure of what might describe to the veteran the Oregon Veterans Business Enterprise Program. And you see that handsome young Marine on the front page looking at himself in his business suit as he transitions from the military and so on. And there's examples of websites of enterprise partners that we've worked with throughout this development of the program. I did talk to Representative Smith to his office yesterday. I know that he's been strongly supportive of what we're doing. I kind of expected him to be here, but I'm sure he's probably in a committee someplace. But he works with an Eastern Oregon Small Business Development Center. They are critical to carrying out this program. And they and their state director, who is from Eugene, have been strongly supportive of it. And of course, my testimony in the previous hearing on this bill indicated the figures, I believe, that I gave them to you about how many veteran-owned businesses we have in the state and how successful they are. But just as a reminder, there's 75,000, and the last earning figures we saw for those 75,000 veteran-owned businesses in contributing to our state's economy was $2.2 billion in that 1 year. I think this is an excellent investment for our state, and I think this will do great things in bringing our veterans in or having assisting them in the ability to start up small veteran-owned businesses. And Mr. Chair, I just happen to have some figures with me to answer a previous question, and that is that the presumptive time for service in the Vietnam War was February 28th of 61 until May 7th of 75.
Okay, thank you.
So I just thought I'd throw that in. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Okay, thank you. Joseph Riley and Kevin O'Reilly, please.
The Riley boys.
It's a good day for the Irish.
That's it.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. My name is Joseph Riley. I'm the Lane County Veteran Service Officer and the Vice President of the County Veteran Service Officer Association. And while my experiences through those associations and employment have allowed me to form these opinions that I'll be presenting today, I am speaking as an individual today. And even as such, I still apologize for my casual attire. Through my work as a county veteran service officer, I meet with veterans all day, every day. My main focus is to help them obtain the benefits that they've earned through their military service. But during that process, I come to know them as individuals, and we discuss many of the aspects, many of the issues facing their lives. One of the biggest issues facing veterans in the disability claims process is typically employment. Many of these veterans, and I hesitate to paint my clients with a broad brush, but many of them do have difficulties working in traditional employment settings due to physical or mental health issues. Oftentimes they have to seek accommodations from their employers, and some employers are hesitant to do that. Other veterans are too proud to ask for those accommodations, and so ultimately they have problems with their employment. They are, however, able to work and want to contribute to society through work. And I believe this program would allow these veterans to form their own businesses and be their own bosses. They would not then have to worry about whether they're satisfying their employer's criteria, but instead could just do what they could do, and with this assistance, able to form their own business. This program also would allow the state to help veterans through a ripple effect. I was working with a veteran the other day, and he told me that he was only able to work about 4 hours a week. I asked him, how is his employer allowing him to do that? Typically, employers would expect much more. And he said basically the only reason he had a job was because a small business in Eugene, Oregon, was owned by a buddy that he served with in Iraq. And so I think if we allow veterans to form businesses, they are going to be more likely to hire other veterans and be more sensitive to the issues that they may have due to their military service. As you may know, the Small Business Administration has programs available to help start up businesses. They have a coordinator dedicated to veterans business enterprises in Portland. That individual is able to help veterans with business plans, with applications for small business loans, and those kinds of activities and requirements in starting a business. However, even though there is on the books programs to provide direct funding for these veterans who want to start businesses, Congress has not allocated any funds for that program. And so the Small Business Administration is only able to provide assistance in creating the documentation and seeking financial support. So through this program, we would actually be able to provide them that financial support. Accordingly, I support this bill, and I hope that you can join me in that support.
Thank you very much.
And I'm available for questions if you have any.
Any questions for Mr. O'Reilly? Mr. O'Reilly.
Thank you, sir. Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly. I'm here representing the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America and myself. Strongly support this bill. For all the reasons Joe just spoke about, I've been a small business owner. I'm disabled. I tend to, as a business, when I do run a business, I tend to hire veterans first and disabled veterans if I need to, if they come looking for work. Overall, it's a good bill, and I think it would do a lot to help support small businesses in Oregon, particularly those reservists and guard members who are small business people. They go over, they spend 15 months, and I think their tour is going to be extended very soon here. And they come back, and those small businesses, they usually start to flounder a little bit while they're gone serving, and this would help them get back on their feet when they come home. We strongly support it. Thank you for any questions. I'm happy to answer.
Thank you. Any questions? The small businesses are vital to the economy. I mean,
in Oregon, they're very vital, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. McDonald and Mr. Austin. Mr. Warnock, you're not set up, but please.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Starl Austin. I serve currently on the Governor's Advisory Committee to the Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm here in support of this bill. I wanted to pass on to you, I think you may already know this, this program is the brainchild of Tino Ornelas, who is a small businessman in Beaverton who serves on the Governor's Advisory Committee. He brought this to the Advisory Committee first. The advisory committee unanimously approved it, and we would recommend that you approve and do the same thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mac McDonald, United Veterans of Oregon. We unanimously voted to support this bill. It's a good bill. It will help Oregon veterans.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald.
Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association, and we support this bill also wholeheartedly. Just as a side note, I have a small manufacturing company is my real life job. I do this as a volunteer, and we recognize that a lot of veterans do have their own businesses, and strongly support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just got a comment. I think we're going to get our money back out of this investment. That's the beauty of this.
And we had some questions earlier, but it's been cleared to go to the floor.
That's the next bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, next bill.
This one's going to
Ways and Means. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, this is my referral. Go to Ways and Means. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3160. Open a work session.
Is there Chair, a I move House Bill 3160 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a defense recommendation.
Representative Schaffer moves House Bill 3160 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a defense recommendation. Are there any questions, discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative
Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Excused?
Chair Barker?
Aye. Bill passes. Motion. 28. Yeah. Thank you. Open public hearing on House Bill 2937. Mr. Keller, please.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 2937 directs the Department of Veterans Affairs to provide veterans and health care providers with educational materials on diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of hepatitis C. If you recall, on 329, we passed the bill out of the committee two ways and means. We received a subsequent request to bring the bill back and rescind the referral to Ways and Means. We did receive permission from the Speaker's office to rescind it. The question was raised regarding the financial impact. I requested additional information from ODVA, and what they replied back is this is referral work already being done. Have confirmed we will not be creating new pamphlets. We'll obtain existing CDC pamphlets and put appropriate referral links on our website. I had a phone conversation with the Deputy Director, Paula Brown. I asked her directly if this would be handled with current resources, and she indicated it would. So the bill is back before our committee, and ready to go back to a work session.
And have Val Conley signed up.
Red bill should pass, right?
Yeah.
Be quick.
You want to talk to us to pass it.
It's your choice.
Chair Barger, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Val Conley, Veterans Services Administrator for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm just here to testify that the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs knows of no fiscal impact with the implementation of this bill. Okay. We're ready to rock and roll.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This will be the motion.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 2937 and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2159 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and rescind the subsequent referral of the Ways and Means Committee.
Wrong number, 2937. I said, this is 2159.
Is it 2937? Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. I forgot to change that part.
I'll accept your motion. We'll change, though, the bill numbers, 2937.
Excuse me,
sir. Representative Shopper moves House Bill 2937 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Cowan?
Aye.
Representative Shopper?
Aye.
Representative
Cowan? Excused?
Chair Buckley?
Aye. Motion passes. Would someone like to carry the bill?
Sure.
I see Representative Boquist will be the carrier. No further business before the committee. Thank you for attendance. We're adjourned.
We're adjourned.